Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report, and our first daily editorial after the U.S. election, let's call it voting day because this election is far from behind us. A couple takeaways that I had from the election is that, one, there's no blue wave, and two, this is going to be a highly contested election. I want to stay as far away from all this back and forth of stealing elections and all this really narrative that it's being thrown out there. Again, I'm staying away from it. I want to focus on more or less what is happening in the markets and what this means for the markets. I'm chatting with Ed Moya. He is a senior market analyst over at OANDA. Now, Ed, as a general takeaway for how contested this election is, how divided the U.S. population is, it's really a 50-50 split, it seems like, no matter who runs on either side or for either party. But is this not a negative outcome for the markets in terms of the fact that we don't have any clarity on fiscal policy? It seems like who's ever going to be elected president here is going to have trouble getting firm policies through, and it really just comes down to the fact that we're going to be more or less struggling, or the U.S. is going to be struggling to pass anything definitive to give investors a better focus on where markets, where fiscal policy is going to go?
I think so. And I mean, this historic race, it really, I think the price action overnight and this morning really shows you what Wall Street was, you know, focused on. And I think going into the election, yes, there was, you know, a tremendous amount of positioning to price in that blue wave. I think you could really see that there was tremendous interest in piling on to like the Teslas, the Caterpillars, some healthcare stocks and clean energy. And what we saw, you know, quickly was that when these results started to come in, I think you had a bit of an unwind of that blue wave trade of, you know, what Democratic policies would do. And I think you saw investors kind of realize that, okay, well, the outcome of this election is going to be a lot closer than we thought. And the Senate races was kind of the big, just as important as the presidency. And that really, I think everyone thought that was going to be a lot closer. And it looks like the Republicans are going to be able to hold on to the Senate. And I think what you're going to see is that, as you highlighted beautifully, there's going to be, if it is a Biden victory, there's not going to be that massive stimulus package that's going to come, you know, unveiled in the next few months. There's not going to be clean energy initiatives. But you also have to remember that you're not going to get those corporate tax hikes. You're not going to get stricter calls on regulation. So I think the stimulus was going to be a bigger jolt to the economy and I think really help drive that cyclical rotation. So I think what we're seeing now is that, okay, investors, you know, regardless of who wins, whether it was going to be President Trump for re-election or Joe Biden, I think you saw investors just realize that, okay, well, there's still strong reasons to be bullish the U.S. economy and U.S. stocks. You have the COVID spread, which is still, you know, relentless across the Northern Hemisphere in Europe and in some parts in the U.S. And right now there's still expectations that you're going to have these work from home stocks, the high flyer tech, the Amazons, the Apples, the Googles, they're going to still remain in fashion right now. And I think you're going to probably see that people are going to become more optimistic that's going to be the primary focus for many investors. You're not going to have that cyclical rotation that, you know, many people were starting to price in. So I think you're going to see that we're probably going to see the election outcome drag on for quite some time, I think. But investors are going to, if we have that Senate clarity, which it looks pretty good for the Republicans, I think that's going to be enough to you know, provide, you know, some adjustments to your portfolios. And that's probably why you're going to see, I think, the Nasdaq become pretty attractive here.
Okay, so really that rotation trade, at least right now, seems very much dead, right? The NASDAQ is the clear winner today. Markets are doing well, and that could also just be because this election is kind of behind us, so that uncertainty, even though there is still a lot of uncertainty, is behind us. Again, the U.S. dollar is also moving strongly higher. Is that really just because we don't have a clear defined winner or even really a majority in the House and the Senate so that policy will be tougher to get through?
Yeah, and I think what we have to take a look to is, you know, that move in treasuries. That was historic. It was just, stocks were kind of teetering, but, you know, the move in treasury yields was sharply lower. And I think that you're probably seeing that, you know, the reflation trade, you know, the expectations that, okay, you're going to have a much softer dollar because a blue wave was going to, you know, unleash so much stimulus that was going to devalue the dollar. That didn't happen. And so I think you had that election uncertainty really drive some of those safe haven bids, and it just really provided one of the clear reactions overnight. But in the end, I think you still have to remain focused as far as, well, what's, you know, once we're past the election, you know, there's still COVID, there's still the Fed, there's still the permanent damage to the labor market, and I think you're gonna see that the Fed is not just going to be in wait and see mode anymore. If there's no massive fiscal support bill, the Fed is going to have to become more accommodative. And I think that ultimately is going to provide a backdrop for a weaker dollar. And I think you're probably going to see that the rest of the advanced economies that are struggling with COVID are, you know, preparing to do more. The BOE is rushing forward one of their rate decisions. They're going to provide a QE boost of $130 billion. I think as much of Europe goes through these lockdowns, you're going to see much more accommodation. It's just going to provide more support for these risky assets. And I think with the U.S., you're going to see many investors continue to rely on that Fed. The Fed put is not going away anytime soon. I think the expectations on when we could see tightening is just going to get even pushed back further. So, we might not have that great move higher that I think people were anticipating with the blue wave, but I think you're going to still see that, regardless of who wins, there's still strong optimism that the Fed is going to remain accommodative, and that's going to be good enough of a reason to remain in stocks. And I think once we're on the other side of COVID, I think the global economic recovery is going to really accelerate, and the risky assets will likely outperform that.
Yeah, just the question of when we are going to be by COVID. But touching back on, okay, Fed policy, we're going to hear from the Fed tomorrow. That should be an interesting meeting. I don't expect them to do anything drastic, but they can't just say that they're waiting on the government. Well, I guess they can because we don't know the results yet. But the Fed, they most likely, you're right, will stay accommodative, and so are other central banks. How are you balancing out that accommodation from all central banks, weighing just how much they're going to be putting into the markets and how that should directly impact, first of all, currencies, so U.S. dollar moves, and then also the metals sector, the precious metals, when it comes to money potentially flowing in there?
No, that's a great question. And I think what you're probably going to see is that, well, yes, you're going to have action from the BOE, the ECB, and also the Fed. I think what we're going to focus on primarily is that the economic recoveries are likely to be a lot quicker, I believe, with the European currencies. And I think that's going to provide, I think, more expectations that when it comes to the recovery of when the economy is kind of making its way back to that pre-pandemic behavior, you're going to see that the European central banks are going to be closer to tightening. They're also going to have, at least in the Eurozone, they're going to have more difficulty in pushing forward fiscal support initiatives. So I think you're going to expect that still the U.S. is going to deliver probably more stimulus, and with respect to when things are going to be tightening, they're going to be the last ones to signal that. So I think that's going to provide the overall support for the calls for a weaker dollar. And I think you're probably going to see that many traders are then going to take focus on, you know, some of these other crosses. And I think you're going to see emerging markets. They went through quite the ride last night, and I think you're going to see that the search for yield and value is going to come to a lot of the EM space. And if you're looking for, I think some of the stronger moves, I think you're going to probably start to see some of the EM currencies start to outperform, and eventually you'll see the dollar, I think, really have a strong weakness once that global economic recovery picks up.
Let's wrap it up with some comments on gold then specifically, because gold is still stuck, right at 1900. I find it almost ironic that at the end of election day and moving into the next trading day, gold is exactly where it pretty much has been for the last couple months, fighting with 1900. Still a lack of clarity on fiscal policy. It's not the blue wave that the gold bugs were saying, well, that would just be even more fiscal policy. It's not a clear Trump win, which the gold bugs were also saying is going to be good for gold. I understand the narrative that central banks are going to be printing. That is good for the precious metals, but there's still a lot of uncertainty, and investors clearly aren't willing to jump on that long-term gold trade, at least right now. Where does gold stand in your eyes?
I think right now, and you're starting to see some outflows from the ETFs. And I think once you have a lot of the retail investor abandon a trade, oftentimes that's the the signal on when you'll start to see the bullish trend to resume. I think, you know, it's a big setback for gold that you're not getting the blue wave, but there are other factors that I think are going to continue to support the argument for a move back towards 2000 by the end of the year. And I think you're going to see stronger demand with the Diwali and the Lunar New Year holidays that are approaching. Demand, you know, I think we're expecting that to really pick up in India and China. And with respect to the global a stimulus punch bowl out there, it's not going to get filled up as fast as hoped, but I think there's still significant amounts that are going to be coming in. And the COVID spread has really provided, a permanent backdrop here that the winter surge uncertainty is still there. And that's probably going to provide further optimism that you're going to have reason to need more safe haven exposure. And in the short run, I think the dollar is gonna be subject to some days of significant strength and rallies, but I think you'll probably see those moves faded just because of the Fed outlook. So I think gold is still poised to consolidate here, but I think the next major move is still going to be higher.
Hey, I'm with you, but right now, I don't think you can say that that'll be in the extremely short term because, well, we just don't know how much longer this is all going to drag on. And again, if the House and the Senate are as divided as they look, then it's going to be tough to get strong policies through, which is, I think, something that needs to happen. But, oh, man, this election is going to stick with us for a little bit longer, at least. Hey, Ed, great chatting with you, buddy. I'm going to post a link to the Oando website where everyone can listen to your, or everyone can read over your daily note. Thanks for your time, Ed. We'll chat again next week.
Thank you. Have a good one.